This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf. And I got so much to tell you about today, I don't even know where to start. There's been so much animal news again. Okay, I'll just start with the thing that bothers me. It seems that Ghislaine Maxwell has been getting puppy visits in jail. Puppy visits. You know how hard it is to get a puppy to visit you in the hospital? It's hard. It's really hard. Yes, it should not be so hard. And I don't know about people like her getting visits from puppies. What did the puppy do to deserve that? Okay, no, but beside that joke, really, we got to give our heads a shake when this is going on. It's insane. All right, well, okay, I do approve of puppy visits to jails in general. And I think that prisoners and rescue dog, that partnership can be an amazing thing. It's just this particular prisoner seems to be getting all kinds of privileges, like more toilet paper than everybody else and more freedom to have visitors in private rooms. And I do understand that she needs more protection. So some of the special treatment has to do with that. But getting a puppy to visit a pedophile sex trafficker seems wrong to me. It just does. Okay, what else seems wrong? Well, it seems like 10 years ago, they decided, like in the 1990s, actually, a long time ago, they decided to stop hunting bears in Florida. Yes. And now, even though they completed a big study and they've done a lot of work on it and the results aren't in yet, and there's going to be results next year, they've decided to go back to killing bears now before they even know the results of the study. And the people involved in the studies and all the protection people are saying, no, this is totally wrong. You should not be killing more bears. Last time they did this, 300 bears were killed in 48 hours. So this is just not good. Not good, not good. In 2029, they will know everything about the bear population and whether or not this long suspended hunt should come back or not. But right now, it's too soon. It's too soon. So what can you do about this? If you think the bears in Florida should be left alone in the Everglades until they figure out what really the population needs, the conservationists are saying that there's been a 2/3 drop in their population since 2015. So what they're saying is buy a tag like you're going to hunt one, and then don't hunt one. Spare the bear. I think that's amazing. What a good suggestion. Now, am I against hunting in general? No. I think, you know, people eat and they choose what they eat. And some people hunt because they want untampered, unmedicated, unprocessed meat. And I totally respect that. And when you hunt fairly, you spend a lot of time and effort learning the ways of the animal and going into its, I mean, even when I mushroom hunt or forage, it's an experience. I see deer droppings and I see bear scat. And if I was hunting, I'd be tracking that. So it's a total dedicated experience, like fishing, where you can go 3-4 times and not even catch a fish. It's something, as you get better and better, you get more skilled at it, but some of it's luck and timing and what nature provides. But the thing about this hunt is they're going to be using feeder stations and hunting dogs. And once again, they've decided how many to kill based on no science, even though in 2029, the science will be in. So buy a tag and spare a bear, everybody. All right, we're going to go to break on Animal Party Pet Life Radio and come back. Did you know koalas are more like us than you might think? Well, stay tuned for that on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And koalas, you know, those little Australian little teddy bear-like things, they're marsupials, but they look like teddy bears. And they live in the trees. And they're very docile and gentle, but they're a little bit more like us than we originally thought in one way. They have fingerprints like we do that have loops and ridges, and each one is different, and it helps them grip the tree branches. But under a microscope, it's very, very difficult to tell the difference between a koala fingerprint and a human fingerprint. So maybe we're not that different from the animals, not as different as we think, even from one so different from us. We still share some similarities. So I've talked about tool use before when I've had Dr. Corin on the show, professor of psychology, who will argue with me that the examples I'm giving of tool use are not technically tool use examples, and we've had it out on previous shows. If you're interested in really thinking, look up the shows on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, my shows, where Dr. Corin was my guest, Professor Stanley Corin. And there's all kinds of topics, but we get into it pretty thick on this, and sometimes I get him to concede a little bit. And if he were on today, I would be telling him about something in the news that makes my point again. It's not just monkeys and dolphins that use tools, not just orangutans, not just crows. No, it's canines. And I've been saying this for ages. When a dog takes a blanket and pulls it over another dog or pulls it over himself, that's tool use. That's changing your environment, which they always say animals don't do. Only humans change their environment. Animals adapt to the environment. Malarkey. That's what I say. Malarkey on that one. So here's another example. Okay. I love this. So there's this place where it's in Canada, and I can't find my notes, but it's okay. I'm just gonna do it off by heart because I was really so excited by this story. Of course I put it somewhere where I wouldn't forget it, so I'm gonna have to just do it by heart. But okay, up north in Canada somewhere, there's this population of First Nations Aboriginal people. Indigenous people who have set these traps to catch these crabs that in the news bit, they said they were invasive. I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, there they are catching crabs. And they have these traps on long ropes with buoys set to catch the crabs. And the crab traps were very unsuccessful and the bait kept getting raided. So they set up cameras to monitor what was going on. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Caught on camera are these local wolves. They're called sea wolves because they can swim for miles and they will eat things out of the ocean, and they live on the beaches and the islands, and they're amazing animals. Anyway, a sea wolf looks exactly like a regular wolf, maybe a little bit leaner, maybe a little bit less hair, but you wouldn't be able to tell it from a real wolf. Big, giant looking thing, okay? Big, big canine. And what you see is this thing goes over, do-do-do-do-do, like it's done it 100 times. And it puts its mouth on the buoy, and it pulls the buoy. And it pulls the whole line of traps right onto the sand. And then it opens the trap, and it takes the bait. And not only that, but while it's doing this, this is kind of interesting, a crow is, or a raven, I'm not sure, but a bird, a corvid, is watching. So it won't be long till they figure it out, too. But also, other wolves have been seen doing this behavior in other areas. And so now they're saying, like this is a eureka moment for them. They think maybe the wolves are teaching each other, as if this is like new insight. Of course they're teaching each other. Yes, they are teaching each other. And one of them may or may not have seen a fisherman do this exact maneuver. Pull the trap in, grab the buoy, pull the rope in, reset the trap or rebait it. And they love the taste of the bait. It's great bait, right? What do you use to catch crab? Well, usually chicken. So, okay. So, you know, some kind of smelly meat at any rate. So this is what's going on over there. And everybody's acting like this is just such a surprise. Well, I've seen dogs do this kind of thing all the time. You can see them pull things out and push things in and get things from under things. But this tool use, being able to use a human engineered bait line and trap line, is pretty amazing. And it's happening with a sea wolf. So I told you so, Dr. Corin. Maybe I'll have you back on the show to argue this one. Maybe not. The proof is in the video. Those wolves are using those trap lines, and now they're going to have to figure out how to other places where they can place them where the wolves won't have access, and when they do it in new areas to make sure that they're not being watched, and all these things that indicate that yes, these animals are extremely intelligent and they do adapt their environment to them. I mean, they make dens. Like, really, these distinctions that we make about what makes humans so exalted and what makes animals so beneath us are falling by the wayside whenever we look close. All right, everybody, stay tuned. We're going to come back from break on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wall.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And we had some pigs in the news. There was a pig that stopped traffic in Albuquerque. And pigs seem to get into a lot of trouble, don't they? I find it hysterical whenever they do. So look out for that. If you're trolling social media, look out for pigs in the news. Just put that in your search. Boy, are they funny and hard to catch and clever. And some of these chase scenes are the best chase scenes. Better than OJ's, that's for sure. That was a slow, boring one. These pig chase scenes are incredible. You get to see grown men and women diving unsuccessfully. It's fantastic. Okay, everybody. So while I was waiting to go on air today, I got a text, which I'm going to read you. I'm going to read you the train of texts. So this is an owner I know, because I have a boarding kennel and I also breed dogs. I often keep in touch with people over the years, many years. And so this person has an F1B Golden Doodle. And okay, so this is how it goes. She asked me if I could take her call this morning. I said I was going on the radio, so I couldn't, but we could do it by text. I was doing sound checks and such. Good morning. I want to talk to you about Snoopy. He is not himself, and I'm not sure what to do next. It seems emotional, not physical, but it has lasted longer than 10 days. Never had this breed before, so I'm not sure what to look for. Okay, so I answer her today and explain I can't, you know, but maybe we could text. So then she tells me the problem. Thanks so much. So for 10 days, he has been emotionally listless, not eating as much. This I find troubling. Clingy, can't really be alone, but also distant. Less enjoyment all the way around. Didn't get excited when I made steak. Almost like he has lost his sense of purpose. And then she writes, that is me projecting for the last statement. Displaying no signs of physical pain. So I'm trying to help her and I'm trying to get her. It's like a detective puzzle a little bit when your dog's sick, because you can't ask them, oh, does it hurt here? Does it hurt? You know, they can't really explain it to you. Same with cats. Cats are even harder because they'll hide their pain. Whereas at least dogs will let you, will try to communicate if you hit on the right thing. So here we go. This is what I say to her. Three things could be happening to cause such drastic, sudden change. One is medical, health, and needs a vet to figure it out. And this should be ruled out, especially with the loss of appetite. So my first suggestion to her is really, you got to go to the vet and you got to do blood work and you got to check this out. Make sure the vet examines your dog thoroughly, because some dogs shouldn't drastically change everything overnight like that. They shouldn't go from being playful and exuberant and silly to being listless. Something is wrong when you notice that. Okay, so that's number one. Then I say, but do examine your circumstances. So here's number two. Another option is a drastic event that has made him distressed, like perhaps a death in the family, or his best dog friend moved out, or a divorce, or a kid moved off to college, or some kind of big loss to him. Now, this may not be, I didn't text this, but this may not be a big loss to you. In the friendly neighbor who moved out, you may not have talked to him three times since you moved in, but maybe he petted your dog every day. Maybe he sat with your dog in the backyard, talking to him through the fence. Maybe he even fed him treats. You don't know. So there could be some kind of major turning event like that. Okay. And then the third thing. So the first thing is he's sick. Something's wrong. And that you've got to rule out, especially when he's not eating. Second thing is he's sad because something big happened. So if you know, oh my God, that's exactly the day, you know, my son moved out, or, oh, that's when the neighbor left, or our tenant who used to walk the dog every day, you know, broke his leg, or there's something that triggered on that date. Okay, that would be a very, very good pinpointing factor. Third thing could be, so we've got health and we've got loss of something he loves. The third thing could be an addition of something he does not love. So a new neighbor, or a tenant, or some kind of new stress in his life causing a fear or a toxin. It could even be a new gardener next door or nearby with new spray, or new something someone did a treatment, or he's been fed a new toxin. So what you want to do is look at what changed in that day. Well, the triggering day, she says it started 10 days ago. What happened around then? Was there a new neighbor? Was there a new product? Did someone fumigate? Did someone paint? Did something happen on that day that was different? And then, okay, so I say, can you track any big change 10 days ago? I wonder if he got into something that was stored and now taken out. Examine the trigger date and possible change that happened. And also, you've got to take him to the vet. And then I write, the vet, the vet, the vet, the vet. If he's not drinking and not eating normally, then he needs to see the vet. And I tell her, when you grab his scruff, that's the back of the neck area, or pinch his skin and then release it, does it go back immediately and fast? If not, he's dehydrated. When you open his mouth and press on the tissue on the skin of his gum, you know, the pinky or black part above his teeth. Okay, so when you press on his gum tissue, so it changes color. For example, it may go from pink to white, or it may go from black to white. When it changes color and then you release it, so you're pressing till it goes white and then you release, does it immediately go back to the normal color, the same as the other parts of the gum that you're not pressing? So if his gums are black and you press on, it goes white and then you release and it goes right back to black, that's good. If they're pink and you release and goes right back to pink, that's good. If it stays white for a little while, that's indicative that there's a circulation problem. So he could be dehydrated. He could have a circulation problem. We're kind of trying to figure this out. And if any of that's true, you tell the vet that when you go in. If you got a good vet, he's going to check for those things anyway. So, and then I just tell her to please let me know. But then I sort of thought about her comment and I realized she was second guessing herself. So I added to this, your comment that he lost his sense of purpose and sense of joy is not projecting. It's observing. When a human is sick, really sick, they don't care about the things they found fun before. And if their tummy hurts, they don't care about food. So, you know, to say he's dragging around and he doesn't care, people come in and out, and he doesn't care if I make a steak, I grab the leash, he's not excited, that's a severe change. And I would say that he's lost his sense of purpose and sense of joy. That is an accurate description. And that to me means we got to go to the vet. All right, everybody. So I hope that was a little bit helpful. A while ago, I talked about names, and I just want to leave you with something kind of funny. I talked about how you don't want to name your dog something that rhymes with no, or something that has a negative connotation, like maybe you're really grief-stricken because you lost your dog and now you've got a new puppy and you give it the same name, and every time you call it, you're sad. Well, that's not a good way to start. Or maybe your whole family has names that sound the same. Or maybe you've got a surname like McKenzie and you want to call the dog McKenzie. That's going to be confusing. If the name is being said all the time when it's not relating to the dog, it's confusing. So one of my dogs, I named her after those potato chips because she's the color of a zesty Dorito potato chip. But she's not a boy, so I couldn't call her Dorito. So I called her Dorita. And you would think with a name like Dorita, she's not going to get confused. Who's going to say that word, right? I mean, I don't eat those chips, so we're not even talking about Doritos. And Dorita, she's not going to hear her name. Except I realized sometimes dogs are so smart, they listen for the first syllable. So the other day we were joking, because I've never done this in my life, but we were joking about ordering DoorDash because didn't feel like cooking. And we didn't order DoorDash, but we kept saying, no, you ordered DoorDash. No, you ordered DoorDash. And I noticed Dorita, every time one of us said DoorDash, she'd cock her head and walk a few steps toward that person. And then the other person said, no, you ordered DoorDash. And she'd change her direction and walk a few steps toward that person. And I realized she thought we were calling her every time we said it. So we're going to have to be careful with that. Gonna have to start calling her Rita. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening today. And from me and Animal Party Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.